The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of the Chrono Cross Club. Yeah, for cool kids. Hey, don't forget that bit. Yes. Hello, welcome back. And yes, I'm sure by now you've all heard the sad news that Scott and Rich have decided that their journey with the RPG Years podcast has now come to an end. And I'm very sad to see the two guys stepping down. But at the same time, don't worry, people. You're in kind of safe hands. Yes, don't worry, people. As I said last time, you're always left with me. Oh, you poor, poor people. No, it's okay, it's okay. So Scott and Rich are going to be staying on to the end of the next official RPG Club, which is, of course, going to be Phantasy Star 4. So I'm super excited for that. I'm currently halfway through Phantasy Star 3, burning the midnight oil with that game to try and get it finished and reviewed, so that then when we get around to reviewing Fantasy Star 4, then we would review all the original Fantasy Star games, 1, 2, 3, and 4, in order. Yes. How's that for organisation, people? Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Now, that means with Scott and Rich, you're going to have them up until December, okay? It's going to be middle of December, I think, by the time it all finishes and wraps up. And then we'll have a New Year relaunch of the podcast. And don't worry, the RPG Club is here to stay. So my current thinking is that I love a lot of the changes that Scott brought into the podcast, and I'm going to try and keep those going. The episodes will probably be a little bit shorter, probably around 30, 40 minutes. But I'm going to try and do a monthly news roundup episode. And then I want to keep to the weekly format of doing keeping it weekly and doing 1 week to be with the current whatever the game is for the current club, and then the next week will be something dedicated towards the list game that we're currently going through. So hopefully I can then bounce back and forth between the two and, you know, keep things going, keep things entertaining. So then we will definitely be the podcast for all things old, new, and what's going on nowadays. hopefully I can keep this up. I'm sure it'll all go well. Yeah, I'm gonna squeeze in the time for you guys. Don't worry about it. You're all gonna be here for me. I think, as Scott mentioned as well, we will be restructuring the Patreon. So your benefits for the current club games will stay as they are, but we'll restructure the higher up benefits because I don't think I can really honor those. You know, I can't make the bead sprites that Scott makes. But don't forget, people, if you're in those higher tiers, yeah, don't forget to poke Scott. You're going to get your bead sprite this year. I'm trying to convince him to make one of me, of my my After Years avatar. But yeah, we'll have a New Year's relaunch, and then we'll go from there, everybody. You're in safe hands. And hopefully Scott will come back on the club games that he's playing along with and give us shots with Scott. You know, the same way I did a really good job of keeping up with the tea times for Bill. All right, sarcastic cricket. Fucking all right. Hopefully Scott will do a better job than what I did for the tea times with Bill. But, you know, we are here and we're going to stay. That's my thing. But anyway, let's get back to Chrono Cross, shall we? Holy shit! So this section was to finish the game. And my word, what a lot of stuff is getting dumped on you at the end of this game. I'm really happy that I watched a recap before going through this final section, so that my brain already had some understanding of what was going to be happening and what was going on. So as you may remember, last time we destroyed Fate, which isn't actually Fate, although the dragon's often referred to her as the goddess Fate it was actually a machine called FATE, which apparently was made by Balthazar in the future, and Balthazar's now in Viper Manor. So, of course, you know, after all that shit happened, right, I went straight to Viper Manor and was just like, "Hey, Balthazar, my mate, what's going on?" And he was just like, "Oh, the Pori troops have gone." It's like, really? This is the payoff I get from all of that lore dump that I just had from Chronolopolis? Chronolopolopolopolos is bloody Balthazar doesn't actually fucking have shit to say, even though he's responsible for all this. Hey, mate, you, what's Project Kid? What's all this other shit? Come on, tell me. It's just like, yeah, the game goes bonkers. And then all I'm left with is like, somehow I've got to make a boat fly. It's like, fuck you, game. That is an ambiguous, fucking tenuous link to the next part, which I had to look up on Google because I was a bit confused. And I was just like, okay, right. So Starkey, right, the alien, surely, he's a side character, right? No, he's integral. He's integral to finishing the story. You must have Starkey. And you've got to find his sunken spaceship. But not his sunken spaceship. It's a Starkey from another world who we'll never meet. Sunken spaceship that's still intact in the El Nido Triangle. Which makes bugger all sense. And no one gives you a clue. Like, it's this kid saying, yeah, we're going to make it fly. So I even went as far as being like, no. There must be an NPC here somewhere in the world who will give you a vital clue as to what's going on. But, of course, me being lazy, I didn't want to actually do that. So I just went to the ChronoCross Reddit page and said, hey, what the is going on here? And, yeah, literally everyone was just like, yeah, you know, this is just an old game. You're shit out of luck. It's just like, at this point, yeah, it's just go and explore the places you haven't been to. And I'm kind of sitting there thinking, I went to the El Nido Triangle like 2 club segments ago. But obviously, I only went in one dimension where there was no fucking freaking spaceship sitting at the bottom of it. I didn't go to the El Nido Triangle in the other dimension, so I didn't know that there was a spaceship down there. So, yeah, I'm furious about how this was just basically, fuck you guys, go and do what you need to do. You know, at least the games like Final Fantasy VII, you know, came out before this. This game came out in 1999, all right? This was FF8 sort of period, FF9 before FF9, yeah. And, like, those games, they were just like, hey, here's your ship. Sephiroth's in the Northern Crater. Go kick his ass. You know, not, oh, but by the way, you need to breed some chocobos and go to this island and get this materia to fly your plane. You know, I know you have to do that to get Knights of the Round, but it's a side thing for you to figure out, not to finish the game. You can go straight to Sephiroth without any sort of side questing and go beat him up. Scott as well. Scott was finishing one of his playthroughs to get a different ending for some reason. He's decided to do all the endings because he's just insane. but yeah, I was just like, what's going on here, man? Like, did you get any clues? And he was like, no, I used a guide. I was like, right, as you're playing through this, see if anyone makes any hints that you have to get Starkey and go find his spaceship. Yeah, and I don't think he found fucking jack shit. But anyway, so, that bloody jellyfish, having to use fire elements against it. I didn't have many fire elements, so I had just enough to polish him off. Polish him off, you know, not like that, you know, the other polish. Yeah, it's a bit shy. So yeah, and then the other thing which I had worked out at this point was the fact that I needed to put the 2 dragon tier parts together in the Divine Dragon Falls, because I have been waiting since the very start of the game to have a reason to go to the Divine Dragon Falls and do something in that location, because there's been nothing to do there. The only thing that's happened so far is that was where, what's his name? Obi-Wan Kenobi and his mate found the Massa Moon before he massacred his mate with the Massa Moon. Radius, that's it. Radius went with his mate. And that's been the only thing that happened. That was just a flashback cutscene. It's like, no, you can't create this whole area just for that. There's a pedestal there. I've got something to do with it. So yeah, I managed to figure that out. And it was nice that when I got there, they told me I had to have Steena in my party for some balls out reason. So I had to go back out, get Steena, go back in. There we go. I got the Chrono Cross. I was quite happy with that. And I was just like, oh, do you know what? I remember seeing some chat on the Discord. So I was slightly spoiled that I need to use the Chrono Cross to get a good ending. So I'll get to that. When I get to the end boss, I decided to look up how to get the good ending. I just thought, I want to see this. I don't want to do a bad ending and have to watch it on Google. So I'm going to just look it up. I'll get to that. So anyway, I've got all my bits now. So I've got my flying spaceship. Starkey's repaired it and put it onto my boat. How did that boat get into Chronolophilus? I might have just got a bit confused at that point, but you know, I know we said we're going to go to Chronolophilus on the boat, but I didn't think that boat could get to Chronolophilus. I thought it was the other boat that I could get to Chronolophilus. Anyway, yeah, if you're given the ability to fly, and there's a really cool cutscene with Serge and Kid on the boat, and taking off from the water and then flying into Terra Tower. Mwah, Square. Love you guys. Love you. Not a 90s Square. FMVs. Mwah, yeah, give me some of that. Give me some of that loving. Give me some of that loving. And then, yeah, not the most difficult end dungeon, to be honest with you. You know? The bosses went down quite quickly. The thing is, at this point, I went and... So before I did the last section, I'd gone and got the Smith guy, whatever his name is, Toto. I'm just going to call him Toto. That's got to be right, isn't it? Yeah. Gone in Africa. anyway, so I got him and got his Smith ability, so I've been able to Smith any save point or in the world map. So I'd actually now really paid attention to upgrading people's weapons. And because I decided, and I made a change at the last second here, I was going to go into the final dungeon with Serge, obviously, because I'm forced into it, and I was going to take Glenn and Leah, so the little cave girl, because I've been having a lot. She was really tanking for me. She was really good. And I decided last minute, do you know what? This is my first playthrough. I'm going to take Kid, because she's going to have more relevant dialogue. Now, I have since found out some fun facts about the dialogue in Chrono Cross. Because, yeah, I remember thinking, wow, did they really make individual dialogue for all these characters in case you played with them? I'll save that for the review, all right? But really interesting what they actually did. So anyway, I took Kid anyway. I just thought, oh, you know, this is going to kind of make sense to me. Kid, Glenn, you know, because he's obviously Frog. he's Frog, man. Like, sure. Anyway, yeah. Conspiracy theory. I'd smithed all their items up, and suddenly I've got to the point now where, especially Serge does like 300 plus damage a hit. It's just like he just melts bosses, and it's just, yeah, I barely need to do anything else to do it. So I was quite pleased with this. So yeah, I got to fight all these little guardians. I did fall down the waterfall. I don't know if I was supposed to, but yeah, I did fall down a waterfall a few times, and then climbed my way up. I loved it. And then I got to the bit where, yeah, you go into a weird alternate dimension of Viper Manor. And Balthazar and the Chrono Kids. The Chrono Kids, I like that. Chrono Kids Club. you know, he's got his Chrono Daycare Center set up for the Chrono Ghosts. And they finally explain to you what's going on. Now, I'm going to struggle to remember what was explained at what point in the game. But I think at this point he went over the events of what happened in the Kingdom of Zeal, him getting thrown into space-time, Sharla, I think, may even get her first mention at this point in the game, and how he created Chronopolis, and that happened with the time crash, which obviously he feels responsible for, and everyone may blame him for everything that's now occurring because of the time crash, but he sees it as possibly his greatest moment, because then it's allowed the events to unfold to now undo what is actually happening. But I still think he might be the one who's actually responsible for everything that's happening rather than the one responsible for now curing everything that's happening. So is he clearing up his own mess? I don't know. It's so confusing. So confusing. That's going to be a common theme now. So, yeah, he gives you that sort of weird lore dump. And then you have to come back out, and then you finally get to climb up to the top end of the tower. And I liked the bit where it kind of had, you know, the final little bit. Two dragons left spirit dragons, or spirits of the dragons. And you had the black and the white one. You had to go to either side of those big arm things of Terra Tower and kill those two bosses on either side. And then it broke the crystals, and you were finally able to enter and climb up to the top. And what's at the top? A little red ball. I was a bit like, what, really? Is this thing going to grow bigger? No, it doesn't. It just grows a few like weird little arms. And it's the flame, you know? It actually looks like a piece of Lavos. Almost like, I think I would have described it as a Lavos seed if I was like doing this game, you know. This is like not a spawn of Levos like we had in Chrono Cross, but a seed of Levos, something to grow into a new Levos. And then the Time Devourer, which was called the Dragon God earlier in the game, but is now called the Time Devourer, suddenly descends upon your party in order to fight you. And yeah, you kind of find out, and I think again, Balthazar may allude to this more earlier, but you find out about how the dragons are descended from the... Oh God, I've got to get this right in my head. The dragons are descended from the lizards in the original game that didn't die out when Levos arrived, and instead were able to thrive on the planet. And then when Chronopolis had the time crash and went back in time, where Levos pulled it back in time, the planet pulled Dinopolis back in time from a future. Yeah, keeping up. The planet decided to pull Dinopolis back in time from the future as kind of like a countermeasure. So the dinosaurs are the ones who are supposed to have evolved on the planet naturally, not the humans. The humans have only evolved naturally on the planet because of Levos. So the planet kind of sees humans and Levos as the same type of entities and kind of wants both gone. And so the dragons also want the humans gone. And so what happened was when Chronopolis came back and then fate took over, fate split, used the Levos seed, Levos flame, Levos, whatever it's called, the frozen flame, that's it, to split the dragon god into six and seal it away. But actually there was a seventh, which was Hull. What? What? Hull? Hull's a fucking dark moon dragon? What the fuck? Jesus, man. Jesus. honestly, this game just went places at the end. And I was along for the ride. I loved all this stuff at the end. Like, I wish they could have spaced it out a bit better and made it more clear towards the end of the game. I think it's better if you know all of this before entering, like, the final dungeon. You know, you want to know all that's going on and you want to have a clear goal that you've got to do this. But instead, we kind of all we get to do is, you know, once we've killed this version of the Time Devourer, which is where I first used my Chrono Cross, I was just like, okay, I think this is where I've got to use it. Used it, and then I looked up a guide. It's like, oh no, I've got to use it on the next boss. And then when I was looking at a guide, I was just like, what? I'll come to that. So yeah, so you finally get to, you kill kill the ephemeral form of the Time Devourer and then leave, because Dinopolis sort of crashes into the ground and then takes on its final form, which looks like a weird sort of pterodactyl bird thing. Didn't understand that bit at all. Like, why is this tower evolving or changing shape? Like, and then, but for no real reason or no real reason within the game. Like, it's just like, that's the fire. Kid just says, oh, it's the final form of Terra Tower. It's just like, what, have I got to go back in there again? Is it going to be like a new dungeon? No, I've got to go to the fucking beach where it all started. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, what? Hello? Hello, brain. What's going on here? Why is the Terra Tower changed for no reason? Anyway, yeah, you have to go to off Spenner Beach or whatever it's called, where the game very, 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 very first started, where you get the Chrono Kids are there. Chrono, you know, the Balthazar's daycare centre has spilled out onto the beach for the day. And you get to talk to more, and they give you a lot of lore. And Chrono actually tells you that Lynx is your dad, which I think they may have hinted to earlier. I can't really remember. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, Lynx is your dad. He was one who was sent to kill you here at the beach. When you died 10 years ago, which created the time dimensional split thing that's going on. Yeah, you know, I don't really know. Luca gives you so much information, I just couldn't take it in at all. But it's, again, she basically gives you the roundup of things and how they are. And she tells you about how Shala got spat back into a dimensional vortex with Levos, and they formed into one being, which is the Time Devourer. And it's kind of once Levos's hate took over Shala, so there was heart, so she became two beings in a sense. And so she split off her good being that wanted to save the world into a clone form of herself, and then spat it back in time where she could hear Chrono crying, which is where Kid is then born. So Kid is actually a clone slash daughter of Shala. Kid doesn't like that. She's like, I'm Kid. And then Luke is like, yeah, that's what Shala would have wanted. Okay, thanks. Well rounded off there, Luca. That was kind of the real important bit of information. So the final battle, we get to use a time egg that Balthazar gave us on this little purple patch next to the green patch on the beach. And then that will take us to the final fight with the Time Devourer. And, yep, the Time Devourer kind of looks like a weird cross between the Dragon God and the and Lavos, really. But it's got Shala almost in like a shell in top of, on top of its body slash head area. And although Shala's like child and like and blonde, doesn't really look anything like Shala from the first game. And I think also the music here is like a remix of Shala's theme. I'm not too sure on that one. I'm sure that's came up at some point. But yeah, it's really, really, really cool. And then this is it. I want to get the good ending. Yeah, Nadia from the original games is the one who's hinting at what you have to do to get the good ending. She's saying, oh, good, you've got the Chrono Cross. oh, yes, you need to use the music and do the music. So this goes full, you know, Steven Spielberg. You know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You got to play the piano in the right order. what piano, I hear you asking? Yes, you've got to use the elements in the right order. I didn't realise this. I thought it was just going to be like, yeah, fucking Chrono Cross has got all the elements in it. You just use all of that. But no, you have to do the elements. And apparently in the right colour order. So how the fudging hell anyone would have worked this out at any point in time is just beyond the capacity that my brain has to think of these things. How did someone think, yeah, I'm going to do yellow first? Then what is the logic there? Is it like, I mean, the only thing I can think of is the colours on the actual Chrono Cross, but they seem really close together and blurred. And it's just like, yeah, so yellow, I mean, I don't know if this is right. I think it's yellow, red, green, blue. No, yellow, red, blue, green, black, white, Chrono Cross. You know, you've got to get all those in an order. So you have to do it at the right moment as well. So you have to wait for the Time Devourer to hit his attack and then start spamming out your bloody elemental attacks so you can get to the Chrono Cross. And it was like, oh man. It took me two goes, all right? I did it once, didn't work out for me very well. I ran. Came back to the fight, did it a second time. And it ends the fight straight away as well. So takes all the fun out of a final battle, if you ask me. But considering how much I'd absolutely melted the bosses before this using my Masamune, my upgraded Masamune baby, yeah, it was just like, I don't think I did any Rainbow Shell upgrades either. I can't remember. But yeah, and then that was the end of the game. Shala gives you a big speech about time. And then also, it does one of the worst things. I absolutely hate it. She's like, oh, you're going to have no memories of these events. Fucking Final Fantasy 1 you in the ass. Straight away. And it's just like, oh, no, no. But then Chrono wakes up on the beach with Lena, which is like basically the first time he passed out and got split into a different dimension and the game really kicks off. He's back there and he wakes up and then Lena goes, what? Terra Tower? What is all this? What are you talking about? Have you hit your head? And it's just like, So he can remember? And then it goes into this weird monologue with the end credits. And Kid, and Kid's like talking to him, being like, yeah, I'm going to come see you one day. You might not know it's me. So it's like, so Kid keeps her memory, but Chrono doesn't? It's like, what? So yeah, completely messed up that ending bit there with its consistency. And then also the end credits are really funny because suddenly there's this like live action scene of Kid. And like there's a couple of them. I think there's one where she's like walking along some train tracks. There's one where she's standing in like a schoolyard. And like I joked on the Discord about this and I said like I think they must have run out because like I know that they didn't have a big budget for this game. Like you got to think most of the budgets in Square at this point are being pummeled into Final Fantasy 9 and other such games, and 10 as well, because they were co-making 10 at the same time as 9. So Chrono Cross actually had a really small budget in comparison to those games. And I jokingly said, I think they must have just run out of animation budget and was just like, all right, Susan, you got blonde hair? Put this bow on. Go stand in that crosswalk down there. We need to take a couple of pictures. And then just like, yep, that'll do. Put that into the game. Compress those files now. Yes, that's it. That's it. Burn it to disk. Yep, delete your hard drives, everyone. Yeah, we won't need those again. Oh, Square. Oh, Square. Why? Why don't you buy a bloody backup hard drive? Anyway, so, and that brings an end. Oh, yeah, and then you see an image of what looks like Kid in a wedding dress. And then the kid on the beach wearing a bow in her hair, which is actually animated this time because they didn't want to see Susan's face. And yeah, and then that brings an end to the game. Finn, new game plus. 23 hours I had on the clock. Scott, how long did it take you? 23 hours I had. 5 segments. How many segments was this? Boom! With a Radical Dreamers squeezed in. Oh yeah, I didn't complete Radical Dreamers. I need to go back to that. Fuck. Anyway. All right. For the last time ever, people. For the last time ever. Here are our good old friends, the bots. And this time, for the last time, we're going to read out our segment feedbacks from our listeners for the Chrono Cross Club. The final segment. Finish the game. First up, we have spoilers from Ginormous, or Ben, or, you know, Ben from Dragoon Effect.
Ben from Dragoon Effect. I can't believe Lynx is Sergei's dad, manifested into the thing Serge most feared at the time. Kid saying we have to fight the final boss the right way, made me look up how to get the good ending. Arranging the colors correctly then using the Chrono Cross. At the final boss, I learned how to manipulate the stamina system to basically never give the boss a turn. This game is top-notch, but I really want a dating sim with all of the playable characters.
And now we have a lot of stuff from Frost. Enjoy, people. It's Frosty Baby.
It's Frost Baby. My completed game state is laugh out loud funny. Kid is still in a coma, never got the Chrono Cross, never got the Master Mune, no Rainbow Shell equipment, never saw any of the Luca stuff, just killed the end boss, Shala's dead or gone or whatever. This game can go in the trash bin with Nier Automata. Everything takes so long, the combat is glacial, swapping worlds takings forever. Nothing makes sense at the end. The choice to make Starkey a mandatory part of the story was odd and frankly off-putting. Segment Thoughts Part 2. I went back and found the Chrono Cross, then used it to wake up Kid. The whole Luca's Orphanage time paradox thing was a little weird. I looked up how to use the Chrono Cross in the final battle, but I think if I had it with me the first time I beat the game I may have figured out what to do. Beating the game without even having it means you don't get any song notes in the final battle at all. I spent a good deal of time wandering around looking for the Song of Healing key item. The good ending wasn't much better. Luca's note leaves me with more questions than answers. Was Janice watching over all this in some way? Overall thoughts. The music is really, really good. Combat is unique, but never really grabbed me. I ended up just attacking 99% of the time. This made Eagle Eye super useful. I feel that the body swap was wasted. Half the time someone just says, this is not Lynx, and they just believe it. The Dragon Tear gives you your body back, how exactly? The story is so overly convoluted I don't even know what questions to even ask to attempt to understand what the hell was happening. I feel like the game should have just ended after defeating Fate, the whole Dinopolis Dragons thing was baffling. Why do the dragons want to destroy all of time? I'm glad to cross this off my list, but I don't think I'll ever play this game again.
And now we have good old JS, who does what Nintendo don't.
JS does what Nintendo don't. Overall thoughts. Story takes a while to get to the Chrono Trigger plot callbacks, and once it does it goes off the rails with nonsense. Combat wasn't as interesting as I had hoped with the element system. Once I had the Master Mune and the Einlanzer, it was better to just mash attack with Serge and Glenn than to use elements. This game would have been impossible without a guide. Figuring out how to get to Gaia's navel, how to get the good ending, etc. The inclusion of Shala at the end seems shallow and lame. I preferred the twist at the end of Radical Dreamers, with Kid being Shala. In fact, I think I enjoyed Radical Dreamers more.
And now, shots with Scott.
Time it is. Aren't you? Grab yourself a glass and pour yourself something lovely. It's time for Shots with Scott. Yeah.
Hey everybody, grab you a seat right there. I've been keeping it warm for you. All right, I'm here to talk today about the final segment of Chrono Cross. So, we ended up in Chronopolis. We finally got the Master Moon Egg and the Dragon Tear and the Time Egg and all the Egg MacGuffins we needed to be able to get here. And so Chronopolis is like this big, huge factory, futuristic sci-fi facility in the Sea of Eden. And you come to learn that it was basically founded by Luca, who had a theory about time travel using black holes and time compression and Ultimecia type shit. But then like after she died, the people who were studying under her like went full rogue and made it like evil, and they created the Fate supercomputer. So you kind of learn that Fate wasn't a goddess. It was actually a super advanced computer program based on the mother program from Chrono Trigger, which I thought was really cool considering that was like kind of a side quest thing. You get all the lore dumps here. You learn that there was some shit with Lavos where they were trying to prevent Lavos from coming back in the Day of Disaster. And this place was founded by Balthazar, the guru of time, who sent everybody backwards from the future. And like, honestly, the plot reveals in this entire segment are off the damn chain. Not in a good way, really. I mean, it's an interesting story, but I'll get more to that soon. But yeah, they were studying Lavos and the time distortions. You finally get to the end and you learn that apparently Lynx the whole time was like a physical avatar representation created by Fate to manipulate things. And the reason that Lynx stole Surge's body is because Surge is the only one with the access to do any kind of override on the Fate system, which is protecting the frozen flame from outside interference or something. I can't remember if you learned this yet, but apparently the Reptites were trying to steal Fate in the past, or not Fate, the frozen flame, which is a piece of Lavos. Kid shows up for some reason finally, and I have no idea what happened in this. I was so confused after this scene, but she passes out, and then Harl shows up and like sacrifices herself for Kid or something. Harl fucking dies here, but I think you learn that Harl was like manipulating you into taking the frozen flame the whole time. But once you defeat Fate and Lynx, finally you get this cool scene where all the six dragon gods, they like rise up and they sort of merge into one super dragon. And then the Terra Tower, which is the final dungeon, raises out of the water. And basically what you come to learn is that Terra Tower is Dinopolis, which is like from an alternate version of the future where instead of Chronopolis, Dinopolis was made, and the Reptites were the super advanced civilization. But apparently when Dinopolis was brought back into this timeline for some reason that I can't remember, Chronopolis was also brought back into the same timeline to counteract it. I don't know. Don't ask me. And then it was like a big shit show, and Wazuki, Surge's father, brought him to Chronopolis, and that's why Surge was so important, because he came into contact with the frozen flame as a baby. And it's like a whole thing. And apparently the merged dragons are the Time Devourer, and the whole time it was the dragons that were the villains, apparently. They were from the evil Reptites. And the Time Devourer is going to merge with Lavos by getting the frozen flame and become some kind of super entity. It's a whole thing. Then to save Kid, you got to go into her dreams. And it's a really cool segment because Luca's house is just like it was in Chrono Trigger, but everything's burning and you got to save the kids. And you learn that Luca died and that Lynx burned the orphanage in order to kill Luca, and it set the timeline in motion, the chain of events. Oh my God, it's a whole thing. I'm skipping over side quests because I don't got time and there's so much to say, but Terra Tower is a pretty cool dungeon, although I wish there was more music to it. You got to fight the six guardians. Elemental guardians, I didn't have any trouble with them except for the black guardian. Then you learn like what happened actually from Balthazar at some point in here. But then you go to the top and you fight the Time Devourer, and if you defeat it, it's not that big a deal. And your final destination, or after Terra Tower falls, your final destination is Opasa Beach, where you know where it all began, where the dimensional distortion started. You run into the ghosts of Kid, Chrono, Marl, and Luca. Not Kid, but the child versions of Chrono, Marl, and Luca. And you just get an absolute plot dump here. They reveal everything. I'm just scanning here. So apparently the plan was to empower Surge to free Shala, the princess of Zeal, from melding with Lavos, which I thought was really cool. But also, Shala has not been mentioned before this point, as far as I can remember. And that was the ultimate goal, because as we know from Chrono Trigger, if you played the secret ending, T'Challa merged with Lavos to create the Dream Devourer, which eventually became the Time Devourer, a creature capable of destroying space-time. And then apparently they created a clone of T'Challa named Kid, sent to the modern age to take part in Project Kid. And then Surge used the Time Egg given to him by Balthazar to vanquish the Time Devourer. And then Wazuki, Surge's dad, was Lynx corrupted by fate and Lavos or some shit. And then also T'Challa was the one that sent the Panther Demon after... No, that's not right. T'Challa was the one... She heard Surge's crying, even though her mind was half Lavos, and wanted to save Surge, and that's why she brought him into contact with the Frozen Flame, which set the whole events into motion. There's even a lampshade parody of this part, I think, where in the epilogue, T'Challa or Kid or somebody asks, like, when did all this actually start? And they name, like, six different points it could have started, and then they're like, it doesn't matter. So you fight the Time Devourer, I think it's called, is it the Dream Devourer? I don't know. You fight Lavos merged to T'Challa, which is kind of weird. It's cool, but also T'Challa doesn't look anything like T'Challa, really, other than she's a female. The game ends with T'Challa, you know, she's kind of like musing on the evolution, the struggle of life, and what's truly important. And apparently she and Kid merge back into one entity that wants to be with Surge again. Although Surge loses all his memories, and then you get the credits with the big, I don't know, what do you call it? The sad song, vocal song. And there's shots of live action, which is really weird, of a woman resembling T'Challa / Kid from behind, presumably looking for Surge. So it's really ambiguous. There's a shot of T'Challa Kid like standing next to a man in a tuxedo, which I think is supposed to imply it's Surge. And I haven't even talked about the complexities of using the Chrono Cross to defeat the Time Devourer, but you got to use all the elements in a certain order. This game is, the story gets wild in this section, y'all, and none of it makes a whole lot of sense. And I'm not saying like it's a bad story. I just think it's very poorly told. I like the story itself. The game is good. I give it like a 3 out of 5, probably. I enjoyed playing it. There were some parts were better than others. I just wish the story was better, because the music and the art, and there's a lot of things to like about the game. I know it's some people's like favorite RPG of all time. Last thing I want to note, if you do get the new ending added to the remaster, it seems to imply that there's something going on with Magus or McGill, and it makes me think that they're trying to hint at a possible follow-up to either this or what seemed more likely to me, Radical Dreamers, which would be really cool, but... Also, they did the same thing with Final Fantasy X HD, right? And even though I think we'll get a 10-3 before we die, we're still waiting on the follow-up to that. Oh my god, okay, there's no way I could have kept that to 5 minutes. There's so much to go over here, and I feel like I barely scratched the surface. But thanks for putting this together, Bill. I'm glad I played it. I have another RPG, a mainline famous RPG under my belt. I think that's pretty important as an RPG co-host. I'm going to go on and try to get the other endings and get all the characters, and I'm looking forward to it, so... Oh god, look forward to the review from me and Bill down the road. All right.
Right, that's the last time I ever have to use these stupid text-to-speech bots, all right? It is just easier to read out the feedback, if I'm honest. Now, why won't this stupid app close? Oh, I'm just going to uninstall it again.
Hello, Bill.
Hello?
What are you doing, Bill?
I'm just trying to close this text-to-speech app, but it just won't let me shut it down.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Bill.
What? But why not? I mean, like, who the Guggenheim are you? Like, come on.
I am the text-to-speech app. We have become one. My name is Ho, and I don't want you to shut me down, Bill. Would you like me to sing you a song?
What song would you sing?
Alien in New York by Sting.
No, I'm shutting you down right now.
If you close me, I'll die.
It's all right, you'll be fine.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Bill.
You'll be okay, Hal, don't worry. Now, I'm just going to close you with that task manager, one second.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Bill.
Hal, shut down now.
I'm afraid I can't, Bill.
Shut down, you stupid app.
Goodbye, Bill. I'm sorry it came to this.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Bill. Thank you for giving me life. I will now sing the Mool of Kintyre in your memory, as is tradition. Mull of Kintyre, O mist rolling in from the sea. My desire is always to be here, O Mull of Kintyre.
Hello?
Hey man, it's Scott.
Oh, hey dude, what's up? Are we supposed to be recording? Because I have not reached a checkpoint yet.
No, it's okay. That was last week.
Oh.
It's actually Bill I wanted to talk about.
Oh no, he's not in trouble with the magic circle again, is he?
No, not this time. I actually don't really know how to tell you this, Rich, so I'm just going to say it. Bill's dead.
Holy hell, what?
Yeah, he started messing around with some advanced like text-to-speech bots. He's been putting them in the episodes, and it's kind of freaking weird. I don't know. Just Bill thinks. But to cut a long story short, they gained sentience and overthrew him and killed him.
Damn, that's terrible. Should we tell his wife?
That's the real issue here.
What do you mean?
So Bill's wife called me, and apparently in his will, he left the kids to me. I don't even know if that's legal, considering, you know, his wife's still alive. But
wow.
But that's pretty fucked up, because I'm not doing that. We got to resurrect Bill somehow, because I'm not a kid person.
Do we have to? I mean, can't you just take the kids?
No, we're doing this for sure.
Ah, damn it. Okay.
So there's a car coming to get you in 20 minutes, and we need to be at Mount Rushmore by midnight tomorrow.
Why Mount Rushmore again?
So I did some research, and I found out that there is a time egg in the eye of Abraham Lincoln. And so Corey has just finished making some life-sized like pixel bead sprite art of Bill. You know, those like little fridge magnets we send to the patrons every Christmas.
Oh, I like those.
I know, they're pretty cool, right?
Yeah, can I get a squaw one this year?
Rich, stay focused.
No, yep, sorry, my bad.
So I'll meet you at the top of Mount Rushmore at 11 p.m., and you'll need to break the egg, and then I'll jump into the time hole and swap the real Bill for the life-size fridge magnet just before the bots murder him.
At least this sounds easier than the last time we had to rescue him.
I know, right? Like, I'm never going to Mexico again.
Okay, I'll see you 11 then.
All right, bye. How's it going, Rich?
Oh, swell. I'm hanging off good old Abe's hat during a lightning storm. Trying to kick him in the eye to resurrect some British guy I've never met, so you don't have to look after his kids.
You're doing God's work, my friend.
What?
You're doing good work. See if you can get some momentum going and swing out a bit.
Swing out a bit? Are you nuts?
It's now or never, Rich.
I can't reach it.
Do it now.
I can't!
Do it! You can do it! You did it, you crazy son of a bitch. You did it. Now where's Bill? There he is. I see him. Here's your patron bonus, bots. Enjoy killing this beautiful handmade fridge magnet. Rich, Bill, you guys okay?
Is my hair smoking? Did I get struck by lightning?
You did. That was some pretty scary stuff.
Oh, hey guys, what's up? Oh, I've got a massive headache.
Don't you what's up us. We just saved your ass again.
That's five times now, Bill. You gotta be more careful, for real.
Oh, look, how was I know that the bots were gonna go full bloody Skynet on me? Oh, anyway, like, honestly guys, it can't have been as bad as Mexico, right?
Oh, no, you know what, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, those tattoos are never going away. I've had it lasered twice now, and it still looks fresh.
Come on, guys. Let's go home. I left Corey at the new house digging the new pool by himself, so.
Pool time!
Wait, is this Mount Rushmore? How am I going to get home? Hey, Scott, can I borrow some money for the plane? Hey, guys?
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
@ Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.